The Record Spins here on KUOW with Steve Scherr. I'm Marcy Silman. Carol Casella is one of those people who does everything. She's a physician, she's a successful novelist, and she's the mother of not one, but two sets of twins. You'd hate her if you didn't enjoy her book so much. Carol Casella's latest novel is called Gemini. It's the story of two childhood friends from different social classes. It's also a mystery about a doctor named Charlotte and a critically injured woman on life support in Seattle's Harborview Hospital.
The Jane Doe that Charlotte takes care of is a woman who was walking down a highway on the far banks, the far highways of rural Western Olympic Peninsula, and she's struck by a car. She's left abandoned in the grass for about 8 hours. When she's discovered, she's hypothermic, meaning her body temperature's low, so she's confused. She doesn't have identification, but doesn't look like she's critically injured. She goes to a local hospital for surgery, but then she never wakes up.
And Charlotte is her physician, and what this book is essentially a tale of two times, and I don't want to reveal too much because it is a mystery as well as a story about relationships in the past, but we meet Charlotte's life and we learn about her, but then you walk us back to a couple of people way in the past, not way in the past, but a few decades in the past on the Olympic Peninsula.
Right.
And slowly weave the strands into one story.
I do, yeah.
I'm curious where you started with Gemini. What was the first thing?
I actually started with Jane Doe, and I'm going to reveal one element of the mystery.
I didn't know how much you wanted
to reveal.
I know.
It's always tricky to talk about it because the different elements of the mysteries are revealed at various times through the novel. But Jane Doe is Rainey Remington, and we meet her in alternating chapters in the book and study her life, see her life revealed from the age of about 12 until she grows up to become this patient. And I really wanted to tell the story from a patient's point of view. My last two novels both looked at it from a physician's point of view, and I felt like the patient didn't have enough of a voice. So this was my chance. And I began writing Rainey's story. But then as the story developed, I realized to really tell both sides and bridge that gap between patients and what happens inside the hospital, I still needed a physician's voice.
Which is your own experience.
Very much.
And, I mean, a lot of this Jane Doe patient, we don't learn she's Rainey for a while. And she, as a patient, doesn't speak. She is comatose.
Yes.
For her entire tenure in Harborview Hospital. So how do you, from your physician's point of view, think about that kind of situation in the hospital?
It's an interesting thing that happens when you're in a critical care situation as a physician. You really do begin to think along purely professional lines. You're looking at physiology. You're looking at all the information coming in. What can we change? What can we affect? How can we predict what we need to help next? And often not thinking on an emotional level. It's not a conscious decision to do that. It happens as you go forward in the profession.
It's part of your training.
Well, you know, I don't even know that it's part of the training. I think it's something we absorb, being humans, that you just become so involved in the work, and you know that the work is the best thing you can do for that patient. It's better to be there focused on their medical care than it is to be there so involved emotionally that you can't think clearly.
But Charlotte, who is the physician in this case, is torn by the medical procedures and steps that she knows she's going to follow. And then something else that's part curiosity, but a sort of unconscious emotional response she has to this patient laying there.
She does. She and Rainey, the Jane Doe, are about the same age. And because Jane Doe has no family to speak for her, Charlotte, the physician, really becomes more deeply attached than she would normally. And then as the novel progresses and Jane Doe is still not identified, the hospital actually takes measures to bring in a certified professional guardian to make end-of-life critical decisions on this patient. And Charlotte starts to feel very protective.
I'm talking with Carol Casella, who is herself a physician as well as a novelist. You have still, I asked you before we came in here, a medical career. How did fiction play into this life that you live?
They sound so different on the surface.
They do.
Now I've learned that they too are woven together, like the tales in my novel. I wanted to write since I was young, but I wanted to write fiction. I didn't want to be a journalist, and there's just no roadmap for that. I didn't know how to make that happen. I was an English major in college. I was doing some writing on the side, but then I got interested in biology and particularly psychology and went to medical school for that.
And you're not a psychologist.
No.
You're an anesthesiologist, I think.
I am. Once I was in medical school, I got really fascinated with biology and physiology, and particularly how they do affect our emotional outlook and our well-being. And I went into internal medicine. But then as life went on and I got further along, I realized that I really was not designed to take care of 100 patients at the same time. I was also starting a family, and I needed to focus on one patient at a time. And that's the job of an anesthesiologist.
You mentioned your family, so I can bring it up. You are in the very unusual situation, I think, of having two sets of twins 1 year apart.
15 months.
That's a lot of kids all at one time. So I'm thinking, here you have this career, and you have four kids who are all about the same age, and then was writing novels a chance to escape from them?
Oh, well, gosh, I hate to escape from them. They're great kids. And it was definitely a big surprise and big change in life to have that happen. We weren't planning it. But really, I was working 60% time as a physician. The desire to write had not gone away. And I was also looking for a way to stay home another day a week. So I started writing for the Gates Foundation. I was doing science articles, medical articles, because the internet was brand new then. And that allowed me to stay home one day a week. But it also revived this drive that I had to write fiction. And then, of course, they all started school at the same time. And relatively, I felt like I had time in my life.
So you sat down at a computer and started writing a novel?
Well, I went back to take extension classes in creative writing. And I did that for about 3 years. And at the end of that, I just couldn't put it to rest. I was hoping that would sort of take care of this drive and, you know, could stop pounding myself. But instead, I started a novel.
Gemini is your third novel, published novel, I believe. And all three of them have your other life, your medical life, woven into them somehow. Is that by intent, or is that because they always talk about write what you know?
No, it's very much by intent. I mean, when they say write what you know, we all know a lot more than it looks like on the surface of our lives. We intuit so much, and that would really limit our fiction if that's all authors did. But I'm fascinated with the world of medicine, and I'm particularly fascinated with how to translate it for readers. And I think that by taking a reader on an emotional journey through a character, I can do a better job.
And I should say that in Gemini, one of the scientific threads that you do weave in has to do with genetic traits and how they manifest themselves in bodies. And in fact, in 2013, I assume, is when you were writing this, not 2014, the technology for diagnosing these and figuring out, you know, how people will live with them is far more advanced than it was even 10 years ago, which is part of the story as well.
It is. I think I was inspired to look at genetics because I'm the mother of two sets of twins. Mm-hmm. One set is fraternal, one set is identical. But when I look at my identical twins who have the same chromosomal makeup, they are very different people. They are completely unique. They can't even live in the same room together. And so I wanted to build a mystery around that. For one thing, I wanted to do the research. And the more I learned, the more I looked into it. Now that we've broken the genetic code, we've discovered fascinating things. Our genes are not as simple as we thought they were. They turn on, they turn off. We ourselves are far more complex than simply our chromosomes. So that wove its way into the story as well.
Do you foresee a time where you will give up one of these two professions that you are pursuing at this point?
It's hard. I still love taking care of patients. I do, and they ground me. One of the wonderful things about taking care of patients as a doctor is that you really become intimately aware of what's going on with people from all walks of life. You are not able to isolate yourself to your own peer group. And I enjoy that and still get very fulfilled by it. I can't give up writing. I have so many more story ideas. I wish I wrote faster because I'm never going to get to them all.
Well, Carol Casella, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Marcy. It's been great.
Carol Casella's latest novel is Gemini. She told me she's already working on her fourth book, and it's going to take us way outside the Puget Sound region into the world of international global health. It's The Record.